Welcome back to Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. Last week, the Institute of Medicine issued a report on the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, among current members of the military as well as veterans. The report presents a disturbing picture of how the Department of Defense and the Department of Veterans Affairs are doing with this problem. There is little proof that evidence-based treatments are being used consistently, or if used, proof that it is being done according to established protocols. More disturbing was the finding that, to paraphrase the summary, neither department knows with certainty whether the many programs and services in place for service members and veterans are actually successful in reducing the prevalence of PTSD and in improving their lives. We have as our guest Dr. Sandro Galea, the chair of the committee that prepared the report. Dr. Galea is at Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health, where he is the Gulman Professor of Epidemiology and Chair of the Department of Epidemiology. Welcome, Dr. Galea.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
What surprised you about your committee's findings on the extent of PTSD among returning military and veterans?
Well, one of the central observations about the extent of PTSD is that we have growing rates of PTSD among this cohort of veterans. And by this cohort, I mean the veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, that the prevalence of PTSD in this cohort is about twice as high as it was in prior cohorts. This, of course, means that the burden of PTSD to be managed in both departments, the DOD and VA, is bigger than it has been in the past, and it casts a sharper lens on the need for good, better, and effective treatment in both DOD and VA.
In speaking of the VA, your report observes that no PTSD treatment outcome data are collected in any general mental health clinic, vet center, or specialized outpatient facility, and that outcome data are collected for the specialized in for specialized intensive treatment programs, but the results suggest that there are only modest improvements in symptoms after treatment in these programs. Is that a lack of measurement, or is it a lack of effectiveness of treatments, or is it both?
I think the two central challenges that the report unearthed are, number one, that there is a core fundamental challenge with lack of measurement, that we are not collecting the outcome measures consistently, reliably in either department, either DOD or VA, to be able to say the extent to which treatments are effective and to which they're being implemented in a way that helps service members and veterans. The second central finding is that while we have a full armamentarium of treatments that, when implemented with fidelity to their protocol, we know alleviate the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, we know help service members, veterans, and civilians who receive these treatments recover faster from their symptoms and from the burden of PTSD, we do not know and suspect that they are not being implemented with fidelity to protocols within the systems of DOD and VA. So you have a absence of measurement on one side, and you have the implementation of treatments in a way that has not been shown to work on the other side.
Mm.
That is a bit of a recipe for a serious challenge, that we have this influx of service members and veterans with PTSD, and they are entering systems which are not providing them with the best possible evidence-based care. And even while the systems are doing so, they're not collecting the data needed to tell us how we are doing to be able to allow us the correct course.
I guess this is an offshoot as well of the problem that the VA, for one, is having with scheduling people. You mentioned in the report that veterans looking who are being treated for PTSD are generally expected to have, I think, a number of treatments, 14, is it, within a given amount of time, and only about half those treatments are being received on time. So that would, I guess, explain one thing. But the other thing that's not explained by the lack of measurement or maybe even recording is perhaps they're too busy to do those things. Is that possible?
Yes, I think the committee felt that the whole waiting time issue in many respects is a symptom of a larger challenge, that these departments do not have sufficient human resources to cope with the demand that they are facing. And by human resources, I mean both the clinicians, the service providers themselves, and the staff required to organize and staff mental health, behavioral health clinics. So you have the situation where there is tremendous pressure for the services. You have systems that are understaffed, both in the managerial administrative side as well as in the clinical treatment side, and they're overwhelmed. It's then perhaps not surprising that outcome measurement is slipping, and it's also not surprising that time-intensive treatments are not being implemented in full courses and that corners are being cut.
Have you heard from either department since the IOM has issued this report?
So we presented the report findings to the DOD and to the VA in a fairly lengthy briefing. I had the opportunity to present the report, summarize the findings, and to engage in a Q&A with senior officials in both DOD and VA. The discussion was, I thought, quite positive. I feel that there is tremendous willingness at high levels in both DOD and VA to tackle this challenge. I think these are not easy positions, or they're not easy jobs, and that the leadership in both DOD and VA are trying to wrestle with multiple competing challenges, multiple competing demands that push them in multiple directions. Having said that, the report's intent is to elevate the visibility of PTSD as the sentinel wound of war, particularly these latter-day wars, and to make it clear that we as a country owe a debt of gratitude to service members and veterans, and we need to do better by them in terms of treating PTSD.
You mentioned willingness, and I don't know whether you noticed it, but on most IOM reports, and maybe even carved somewhere on its walls, is a quote from Goethe saying that knowing is not enough, we must apply, and being willing is not enough, we must do. Is that a fair characterization, then, of your critique of those two departments?
Yes, Goethe comes through yet again. Yes, it is. In many respects, I have no doubt about the willingness of senior leadership. And perhaps one can see our report as elevating the knowing part of it, and we are now trying to push to make sure that the knowing becomes doing, and that the insights that emerge from the report are implemented throughout both systems. This will not be easy to do, and we worked hard to create a fairly parsimonious set of declarative recommendations that can lead to concrete action.
I would guess that if someone in either department, a clinician in either department, were to do something different next week from what they were doing this week, you might recommend to them that they start tracking progress of the patients, or at least trying to schedule things so that things are done according to protocol. Is that unfair?
I think the two central recommendations would be that. Number one, that treatments that are implemented according to protocol, they're implemented in a way that they have been tested, that we know them to be efficacious. And secondly, if there are any treatments that are being implemented that are novel, that are being implemented because we have some reason to believe they might work, data should be collected to tell us whether they work, to tell us whether they work and should become state of the science in the field, whether they should be discontinued because they do not work, or whether they're harmful, in which case they should be discontinued. I should point out that I think the central challenge here is not the individual clinician. I think the individual clinician in both systems is a conscientious clinician who is trying her best to deal with challenging situations. I think the challenge here is a system-wide challenge, is a classic health systems problem, and that both systems need to reorganize to make outcome measurement around PTSD and to make the implementation of protocol-based, evidence-based PTSD care a central priority.
All right, Dr. Galea, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed talking.
That was the 171st edition of Clinical Conversations. The other 170 can be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you through the NEJM Group. We'll see you next time. And if you have any suggestions for interviews or improvements, please contact me at jelia@nejm.org. My executive producers are Kristen Kelly and Adore Yano. Thanks so much for listening.